FathersOfMultiples.com.
Hello out there, dads and moms and caregivers and grandparents and anybody else who has, you know, those things called kids. It's May here in Fathers of Multiples world, and finally, it's starting to be consistently warm. Except, of course, for Mother's Day when it was cold and rainy, so sorry, apparently the order did not go through. Summer is, thankfully, surely, right around the corner. So, of course, we've been stocking up on sunscreen and keeping ourselves busy by publishing great content just for you. Earlier this month, Jeff Jackson shared some tips on picking between an SUV and a minivan. And all I can say is, Jeff, you know, we had no choice. We had to go minivan, but I think now the kids are older, we may be switching back to an SUV sometime soon. It really depends what you and your family need. Aaron Lunsford sang the praises of our April Love 'Em Award winner, the website A Parentless Parent. Make sure you check that site out. It's really, really solid. Becky Lynn introduced us to My Teal Ticket, which is just the ticket for parents of children who suffer from food allergies, something that could really help out when you're not necessarily always there monitoring every second of every day. Our friends Mickey Farmer and Vernon Gibbs blew us away with a whole week of Star Wars posts to celebrate May the 4th. And on that note, May the 4th be with you. And if you haven't been keeping track, we've added some super talented mom staff to our writing team. We hope that you can check out what Jean Vizar really thinks moms wanted for Mother's Day. Also, our newest writer, Angela Fry, polled some other moms on what they feel is the best part of being the mother of multiples. That's some really, really great reading, and you should totally check that one out. I really enjoyed it. And while I'm on the topic, make sure you subscribe to updates on the site so that every time we put out a new post, you get an alert and you won't miss a single one. Now, I'm really excited because our mailbag is back this month. First, we received an email from Carrie Halpstead from Bowling Green, Kentucky. I like saying the names with my announcer voice. Bowling Green, Kentucky. She writes, I have 3.5-year-old twin girls and love reading the articles on your site. I especially love how diverse your topics are. I can be reading about sleep training 1 minute and a recipe for healthy snacks the next. I just want to say great work. And she asks how many writers we have now. Well, a couple of things here. First of all, thank you for liking us. It makes us very, very happy, and really it makes it worthwhile. We're happy that you found a home with us. To answer your question, we have 38 writers currently on staff. Some are very, very active, others, well, not so much. But every last one is a valued member of the team. And since you love those recipe, healthy snack posts, keep listening to this podcast. We have something really cool coming down the pipe. And, of course, I'd be failing if I didn't ask if you are the parent of multiples and want to share some of your knowledge with the readers, just drop us a message on the site. We're always looking to add some quality content. No experience is required. You just need to be able to put 2 or 3 coherent words together. And sometimes not even that much. Justin Tapleton reached out to us via Facebook Messenger and asked, do you know of any other twin festivals? Well, Justin, most people know about the Twins Day Festival in Twinsburg, Ohio. This year, it runs between August 3rd and 5th. And, well, as far as we know, that's the one big one. We did learn of a second one, just in its second year now, located in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a one-day event on June 17th, so it's coming up soon. And you can find some more information on their website. We've posted it in our Facebook page. We're sure that there are others. So if you know of one or are starting one or think you need one, just give us a shout out. We'll get the word out. We'll see what we can do. And we'll let everybody know, and especially our friend Justin. Now, one more. Brenda from South Dakota wanted to know if maybe we could do a story on the different types of twins, just so the rest of the world can understand. And no spoilers. It's like Infinity War. Stay tuned. We have someone working on exactly that topic right now. So it's coming. Thanks, Brenda. Now, join us next month for even more mailbag, which of course means that you should keep sending in those questions and comments. Just shoot me an email at doubletalk@fathersofmultiples.com or via the Facebook page or anything like that. And of course, if we answer your question on the air, I will reach into the giant Fathers of Multiples prize box and send you something cool and fun and that you hopefully won't re-gift immediately upon receiving it. Now, let's dig into our interview for the month. We've got another writer spotlight this time around. Okay, so this month we have one of our experts in the field. We have Jeffrey Bernstein. Welcome to Double Talk. And tell me a little bit about you. Tell me about the family. Tell me about the twins.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for bringing me here. And also to Kevin. Thank you, guys. So yeah, sorry if I might seem a little bit tired. My day usually starts around 4:30 a.m. with the twins. Although they're not up, that's when I get up to make sure I stay on top of everything. But yeah, I am married to my husband of, it'll be 3 years and 3 days and 13 years total that we're together. We have twins that'll be 15 months old on the 17th of this month. We have boy-girl twins, Phoebe and Alexander. And thankfully, they are quietly asleep, hopefully until like the 5:45, 6 a.m. hour.
Oh, you've got it licked if they're doing that.
Oh yeah, I was a stickler with scheduling, especially once we got the cue. Our twins were born preemie, and I couldn't quite do we couldn't quite do sleep training as early as I was hoping we'd be able to do it. But as soon as I was able to do that, we absolutely employed a method, and it's been really great that both actually respond to it. Both respond to the schedule. It's beautiful. So we are very lucky that way. So yeah, we are two guys. We live in Pennsylvania. We love it here for a living. I'm a food scientist. I have my degree in culinary nutrition, actually. And I work for a protein company, and I'm their principal research scientist. So I get to work on all sorts of stuff, primarily working on things like protein hydrolysis. It's pretty boring stuff, but ultimately they're used in things like infant nutrition. So it's kind of cool that I get to have an impact on little kids' lives, hopefully all around the world.
So yeah, that's amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's fun.
So you're actually doing the science behind, making things that are, more nutritious than we might otherwise have.
That is definitely one aspect of my job, and it's definitely one of the more fun ones, is knowing that the stuff that I get to work on directly goes into products.
Obviously, especially now with twins that are little still, how important is nutrition in the house?
So in the house, generally, nutrition is extremely important, but I don't make a big deal of it. Personally, having struggled with my weight my entire life, where things are always sort of myopically viewed, I tend to have a very broad perspective on what nutrition should be, and it should sort of be, for us at least, a lifestyle, where I don't make a big deal out of the things that we do. They just become part of our everyday lives. So every meal will typically have a fruit or a vegetable, and that could be a breakfast. Breakfast doesn't necessarily have to have fruit. I'm notorious for serving things like beans for breakfast, and my kids absolutely love them. Ever since I got the clear to start solid foods, I went a little bit crazy. Given my background, I started introducing foods, flavors, and all sorts of things to them very, very early on. And thankfully, no allergic reactions. Food allergies are very serious, and I took very very good care to ensure that my kids didn't have allergies, but I never held anything back from them, whether it be a, you know, textural, whether it be something even as crazy as like chili peppers. You know, food is around us every single place that we go. I want them to have a great sort of exposure to at least trying things. So it's important to us, but I just don't make a big deal.
When mine were little, we didn't hold anything back on.
Yeah.
Anything that we had on our plate, we let them try.
Absolutely.
My son, who's now become a little more picky, and he was clearly the foodie. and warms my heart to this day that we went to one of our friends' houses for, you know, wine and cheese for the parents and, you know, cookies for the kids. And my son and their daughter come out into the living room with their little tiny, you know, kid-sized chairs, pull up to the coffee table. And, you know, it's perfect kid size height, right?
It's a kid dining table. It's a kid dining table. My gosh.
They take the toast points and put away an entire tin of caviar.
That's perfect, dude. That's an awesome story.
My job is done.
Exactly. You know, so many, at least I find, and, you know, we all have to ultimately do what's right for our families. And oftentimes the way we raise our children, no matter how many books we read, is sort of a reflection on how we ourselves were raised. You know, we have to look at the fact that when they're kids, there's such a lack of inhibition that they will try anything, you know, even things that maybe we as adults have preconceived notions or our own sort of issues with. So it's a time for them to get to explore, you know, and I don't know, reflect on every culture in the world. You know, not everybody does, you know, beach nut stage one, you know, and followed by stage two. I mean, cultures around the world start feeding their kids mashed up cereals or just whole rice. You know, babies figure it out. Even, I don't know, go to the subcontinent, into India, chilies. I mean, go into Africa. I mean, babies should be exposed to everything.
And I think that's, I mean, I personally think that's kind of the best that we could ask for. And to get those nutrition into them in however their palate develops.
Absolutely.
One thing that I did want to ask you, knowing your expertise, is vegetables.
Sure.
Now, when ours were little, they would eat vegetables, but getting enough vegetables in there. We did every trick in the book. We blended them in one potato and an entire head of cauliflower. this is the way mashed potatoes taste.
Absolutely.
It's fine. Anything that you've come across with your skill set?
It's interesting that you ask that. You know, a lot of people ask me that question. What do I do differently? And the answer is that I don't think I actually do anything that differently. I just try to look at what it is I'm trying to do and see if that can replace something or add to. So, for example, like a meatloaf, oftentimes it's consistent of three things, some sort of ground meat, egg, and a breadcrumb, right? The egg and the breadcrumb act as binders. The meat gives you some protein. So I figured to myself, well, what can I do to help replace some of that? So one of the things that I like to do is I like to make sure that my kids and my family get a lot of legumes, beans, into their diet. Beans are linked to so many different health benefits, from better gut health to lower weights overall. Also, of course, lower cholesterol and so many other really wonderful health things. So beans, when they're mashed up, can actually act as a replacer for breadcrumbs and for eggs and be used as a binding agent. So I actually will use mashed up either black beans or kidney beans in place of eggs and some breadcrumbs in my meatloaf recipes or meatball recipes, or if I'm even making something as crazy as like Salisbury steaks. So that's definitely one thing that I like to do, and it's something you could never even know that's in there, you know.
Oh, I'm totally doing that.
Oh, it's really awesome. And, you know, some people will say to me, well, what about all the gas that comes from it? You know something? Let your kids fart. It's totally a part of life, and that means that their body is doing exactly what they're supposed to do. So great laughs, but it's great for their heart health. So.
Well, you see, there's where you and I are. Mine have now reached that 10-year-old stage where every fart is a 45-minute laugh riot.
I will take it. I remember that as a kid.
You'll get there.
I'll get there.
Then you send them off to school, and it's just, you'll never believe what happened last night.
So that's one of the things that I do. Another thing that I like to do, and this is totally a crazy thing, is I don't like chicken nuggets. For some reason, it doesn't compute to me that I can give my kids chicken nuggets. I can actually count on one hand in the 15 months how many times they've had them. But what I do like to do is make veggie nuggets. And for me, it's a way to give the familiar shape, that sort of handheld finger food, but vary it up a lot. So I love, and you can totally be lazy about it. So many markets are now selling what are called riced vegetables. You could find like riced cauliflower, riced broccoli. You'll find riced butternut squash. So I kind of like to take 3 cups of any finely chopped or rice veggies with 3 eggs and usually about a half a cup of shredded cheese and 1 cup of breadcrumbs. And I've shaped them into nuggets. And you can get super creative with it. You know, broccoli and cheese. You can do cauliflower and peas or peas and spinach. I mean, on my personal blog, Not the Mama, I think I've posted at least a dozen or more different types of nugget recipes. And the kids love them, and they freeze really well. So, you know, with twins, or if you happen to have, you know, singletons alongside, or if it's just the twins, time is always something that's sort of a commodity and a precious one at that. So having anything ready to go in the freezer that's an easy meal, you know, 10, 15 minutes in the oven, score in my book.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes. That way people can research their own and experiment on their own. Because I know I will, because now we have the teenager, and that's a whole other cup of sauce.
That's a whole other can of beans right there, teenagers. Be like Julie Chen, just expect the unexpected.
A question that Kevin wanted us to ask. A lot of people, when they go away on vacation, especially now that summer's rolling around, it kind of becomes a free-for-all. Oh, yeah, we're doing chicken nuggets for dinner again tonight. Is it okay to, I don't want to say cheat, but let things go a little lax when you're on vacay? Or, you know, should you really keep that consistency, if at all possible? And then, if that's the case, how on earth do you pull that off?
So, okay, this is such a great question on so many different levels, because you're dealing with sort of like the psychology of food, and you're also dealing with just how you generally approach nutrition. So first of all, it's vacation. That has such a specific meaning in the dictionary. You know, vacation is time to let go. It's time to enjoy, time to bond with the people you're with, your family, and literally do things that you're not supposed to do on your everyday. So many of us wind up worrying too much about things, you know, like weight, our appearance, or, you know, whether we can fit in this particular bathing suit, or what we'll look like on the beach, or wherever it is we're going for vacation, and we forget to focus on living. And part of living is just generally being healthy. If we make focusing on health as part of our everyday living, even when we're on vacation, it winds up making focusing the health. So for example, you know, go on vacation, eat what you want, but balance it out. Make sure that you guys are planning, you know, outdoor activities, that you're not just lounging around by a pool. You know, maybe plan a hike to a waterfall, or you know, go visit a nature preserve that you're able to hike into. Build up and make room for that appetite. In fact, anything, indulge that appetite. Vacation is time to let go. Eat hard, play hard, you know, plan those hikes, get physically active, get sweaty, and make memories. It's vacation.
You're just full of good stuff. We're going to have you on like monthly from now on, just to keep everybody like appropriately centered.
So like, I mean, that's just, it's just my attitude. I mean, I've definitely been up at the scale. I've been down the scale, you know, having twins, I'm back up the scale. It's a holistic approach. We can't just stay hyper-focused on one aspect of what makes us healthy. So
like, I can guarantee, just wait until they're like running full bore.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. That means I get my exercise back, man.
It's like going to the gym all day.
I am looking forward to it already. My son and I, you know, my son is about 30 pounds and my daughter, God bless her, is around 22 pounds. And I usually do my warm-up squats with her and then I progress to the 30-pounder. So it's kind of a nice little progression that I have right now.
It's very kind of them to, you know, have the low weight, high weight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get to a wrap-up question, I want to go back to your writing, both for us and otherwise. You've written some really great things for us, and I'll put some links to those, and especially for new parents. You're in this really great place, you know, where you've got this, you know, this mindset, and you've got the little ones, and you're writing this great content that when somebody comes to our site for the first time, it's usually what they're looking for. oh my goodness, I've got these new twins. What on earth am I going to do?
What the hell am I going to do? Yeah. You're going to panic is what you're going to do, and you're going to survive. You'll be fine.
I say that all the time. I said, look, you know, I've got twins. They're 10 years old. They didn't kill me. I didn't kill them.
Exactly.
Odds are you're going to do the same.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true, though.
Oh. A pretty good chance.
Exactly.
Now, with that being said, you want to give us a sneak peek? What are you working on now?
So, you know, for me, the sneak peek is I'm always looking at things that are reflective of my life as it is right now. I try not to project too far into the future with regards to what I'm going to experience. And that's sort of been something that I've committed myself to as far as parenthood. And I try to keep my husband in the same, you know, on the same page. So one of the things that I oftentimes am asked about is how do you make all their food from scratch? You know, and I do. I'm sort of like the Ree Drummond of my house. Like, and if you don't know Ree Drummond, she's literally one of my favorite people on the Food Network. Go watch her stat. For me, cooking is about sharing love and joy and passion. And having a well-stocked pantry is one of those things. And by fresh herbs, spices, vegetables, and stuff like that. Of course, that's part of it. But pantry, by definition, is stuff that's on your shelf. And as long as you've got a couple of really good key ingredients in your home, a home-cooked meal is never too far away. So it's actually one of the pieces that I'm working on right now is the well-stocked pantry, where I'm sort of going to talk about the ways to look at stocking your pantry so that meals are sort of always a pantry item away.
Last question before I let you go for the night, and then you can go and take your 45 minutes of peace before it all starts up again.
Exactly.
And I ask this to all the dads who come on the show. Everybody gets the same question. It's true. The question is, you know, what do you say to, you know, the stranger on the street that says, ooh, or, you know, a friend of yours that you haven't seen in a while? You know, how's the twins going?
So how are the twins going? If it's a friend of mine, I'm usually polite. If it's not a friend of mine, I'm usually snarky as hell. My usual answer...
Go with snarky. Always go with snarky.
Well, with my friends, you know, I want to preserve the friendship. And sometimes, you know, I've found that those that don't have multiples may or may not have the ability to really empathize with some of the truly unique things that parents of multiples go through. So I've sort of learned to edit my responses a little bit. But my candid response is that the twins are crazy as heck, is really what it comes down to. That's my usual response. But most people don't ask it that way. It's usually, are they really twins?
I guess we did get, are they really twins?
I get that all the time.
With the weight difference between yours, I could see how they would say that.
You know, and I'm an open book, and anybody can visit my blog, and they'll see tons of writing on it. You know, my twins are also biologically different. So I am the father of one of them, and my husband is the father of the other, and they were, you know, born through IVF and a surrogate, where we had the same gracious person who helped donate her eggs to us. So they're both genetic siblings and also biological siblings to us. So it's a very interesting dynamic when people ask, are they twins?
For sure.
So just to add a little bit of a mix to the pot. So,
as far as the sibling thing, it's not going to matter a lick.
Nope.
The fact that they grew together is the magic part.
That's the magic part.
And I thank you very, very much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mian. And thanks to Kevin, too.
We will keep an eye on everything that you write, and we hope that you'll come back on with more stuff as you write it on the site.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Excellent. Excellent. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, Michael. Thank you so much.
Another month and another great contest to announce. But first, I want to congratulate three dads for snagging digital copies of The Last Jedi in our May the 4th contest. Thank you for entering, and congratulations to Brock Lush, Justin Connors, and Nick Downey. the Force is definitely with you guys. Because, well, you know, that's the movie. Now, stay tuned on June 1st when we announce another exciting contest. This one, sponsored by Baby Magic. As always, I want to remind you to tune in on the 15th of every month for another podcast with lots of great stuff from our contributors and an interview with another dad of twins, triplets, quads, quints, or more. Let us know what you and your gaggle are up to by doing all that social media stuff. You know, make sure you like Fathers of Multiples on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. And, of course, you can find us on Twitter at MultiplesFather. And with that, have a wonderful month, everybody. We'll speak to you again next time with more Double Talk from FathersOfMultiples.com.